Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There are some that can't get away from their mother-in-laws as fast as they can. But that they would have this relationship that is so deep and so profound that she would say to her, I will never leave you. And don't miss the commitment. This would be the moment when she is born again, and your God will be my God.
The account of Ruth and Naomi illustrates devotion and commitment, a picture of the type of total devotion God desires from us. There is so much in the book of Ruth that assures us that no matter how bleak things might look, God has a future, a hope, and a plan when we trust in Him, just as He did for Ruth. Here comes part two of our opening study in the book of Ruth with Robert Furrow.
What a crazy thing that there is a famine in the land. And because of this famine, they leave to go to Moab. Somewhere along the line, they had to talk to one another about this famine that's in the land. And we know that during the time of the judges that God allowed famines in the land. Remember, it was the promised land. It was the place of milk and honey. And God allowed famines when the children of Israel began to worship the false gods. They drifted away from God. They began to worship false gods. God would allow famines in the land, and that would bring the people back to God, and God would bless them with food again. So they're talking about what to do, and rather than return to God as a family, and we don't know Naomi or Elimelech, we don't know their relationship with God. It's never really told to us at this point, but they decide to leave and to go to the land of Moab. Maybe they heard that there was food that was there. But they leave the promised land and they go. And that would end up beginning a tragic section in their lives. And I really don't want to judge them too much, but I do have to wonder if they wouldn't have left had they trusted God in Israel, had they turned back to Him, would these tragedies would not have followed? It's a good thing to ask, because when our lives get difficult, when there are famines, and it is hard, do we turn to God or do we turn to the world? Do we try anything that we can? Are we willing even to go to the enemy of God instead of turning to God? I think it's notable to say that Elimelech and Naomi did not turn to God. Instead, they packed up their family and they left. Now, it says, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Tragedy strikes. Elimelech may have died had they stayed in Israel. We don't know any of that. Those are things you never know, right? Those are the questions that you ask. But you got to think that you faced grief before. You know the kind of questions that come up when you're grieving? You got to think that Naomi said things like, if we wouldn't have come here, Elimelech wouldn't have died. Had I not pushed him to come here, Elimelech wouldn't have died. We just run through things in our mind in the midst of grief. The loss of her husband must have been just so devastating. And it says, now they took wives of the women of Moab. And we don't know anything about that. They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to take wives from the foreign countries, because they don't serve the same gods that they serve. It's not a racial thing. Otherwise, Ruth would never be in the lineage of the Messiah, because Ruth is a Moabite who becomes one who is ruled by God, which is what Israel means. And so she then is okay to marry. But these two women are serving the gods of the Moabites, which is a female goddess of fertility that they served. And I don't know whether Naomi said to her sons, sick and weakly, don't marry these Moabite women. I don't know if she encouraged them to. We don't have any clue. We just don't know. It simply says that they married these Moabite women. That would be another step down away from God. That would be another, it'd be like you move away from God and then the sons marry Moabite women. It's like another step down and away from God. But the whole tragedy is not done yet. It says, and they took wives of the women of Moab, The name of one was Orpah. And try to say that a bunch without saying Oprah. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. So 10 years go by. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Then these two sons die. Hard to lose a husband. Harder to lose sons. Must have been just an absolutely devastating period in the life of Naomi. Now, these three women are alone. They have no children. They're three women that don't have children, three widows that don't have children. I don't know if we could say enough about these ancient worlds and how difficult it was for widowed women in these particular instances. They were looked down upon. There was no provisions that was made for them, especially among communities like the Moabites. There would be more for them in Israel because God in the law had made provisions for widows. But they were just in this helpless state with no one to take care of them. The solution that Naomi comes up with in the midst of difficulty is not unsurprisingly the same solution that she came up with before. When the famine hit Israel, they're living in the house of bread, they leave and they go to Moab. Now, when all the men are dead, they leave and go back to Israel. It's the same kind of a thing. And sometimes I wonder if we have certain patterns in our lives and we will respond to difficulty the same every time. And it's worth looking and saying, Lord, when I face dark days, when the storm comes through, help me to respond properly. Help me not to respond with just the way I would normally respond, but help me to respond properly. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. And she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited the people, giving them bread. So had they stayed in Israel, it would have been okay. God would have taken care of them. Now they hear that there's plenty of food in the house of bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But as they got closer, perhaps Naomi began to think, what will it be like for these two Moabite women in Israel? How will they be treated by the Israeli men? And so Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dwelt with the dead and with me. Interesting, the phrase here, kindly. It's an interesting word. It means more than just kind. It means to provide for you entirely or totally. I think what Naomi is saying, you're going to have a better chance of finding a man in Moab than you are in Israel. May God deal kindly with you. May you find a good man to marry. If I'm right about that, then Naomi is making a reference of marriage as something fulfilling, which is what God wanted from the beginning. For this reason, a man and a woman shall leave their father and mother, and the two shall cleave together and become one flesh. That special union that has been placed there by God, which is incredibly meaningful. Here we are looking at three single women, talking about going and God being kind to them by giving them a husband. And I think of some listening today who aren't married, who are looking to be able to have that fulfillment in your life, that God can meet that need, that God can bring a person into your life. And we see that unfold in this book. And then that part I won't spoil, but we see it unfold in this book. that God cares about them as well. So Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go and return each of your own house. May God deal kindly with you. Then verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest. Another statement of marriage. Marriage is rest. May God grant you that you might find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she specifically states it there. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and they wept. There's a lot of jokes that I came up with on that verse, by the way. Emotional women, I'm just going to let them go. It's just joking. But they did. They lifted up their voices and they cried together. They'd lived together for 10 years. They had bonded together. Verse 10, they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. So the bantering's going back and forth. Naomi's saying, stay here. Find rest. Stay here and God will deal kindly with you. Stay here, find rest in a husband. No, we're going to return with you. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why shall you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb? Now we get Naomi's thinking. Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, I should also bear a son. Would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? Now, she's talking about the Jewish custom that when the wife of a brother died, one of the brothers would go and marry her and raise children that would be descendants of the brother who had died. Ideally, it would be the younger brother who would marry her and bring up descendants for him. It was a way that God kept the land. The land of Israel was divided into the 12 tribes, and each of those 12 tribes were divided into families. And those families were to keep their land. Their land was to always be theirs. A lot of debate about socialism and capitalism and wealth. Wealth really is connected to land. You gain land and you will gain wealth. And so God equally divided the land among Israel, a unique way, kind of allowing families to maintain wealth by the land always staying in that family, never being taken from that family. And so when you would raise children up for your brother, they would maintain their portion of the land. And so Ruth is saying, you're going to stay with me and I'm going to get married. I'm too old to get married. If I even get married today and have children, which shows us at this point she's still of the age that she could have children. If I get married today and have children, then you're going to wait till they grow up? You're going to marry them when they're, 13 or 14? You're going to not have husbands in this whole time? So Ruth is thinking of them. Naomi is thinking of them. And Naomi is, and they are thinking, well, they're thinking of each other. I don't know how I can get so confused on certain things. They don't want Naomi to be alone. They don't want her to have the companionship. They know it will be hard for a single woman who is a widow in a day when in order to make it, you had to have a man. They knew it was going to be tough. And she knew it was going to be tough on them. And so she once again encourages them to turn back. Verse 13 again, would you wait for them until they are grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I don't know if it was the hand of God against her. Again, she's in the midst of grief. She lost her husband, now she's lost her sons. And she says, God's hand is against me. It's not uncommon for people to question the love of God when things go awry, when life gets dark. It's not uncommon at all. And she thinks that God's hand is against her, that maybe because they moved to Moab, that God took Elimelech and Milion and Chilion. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. and said to her, look, your sister-in-law. And she said to her, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts you and me. What a commitment to an individual. What a commitment to a family member. What a commitment to a mother-in-law to say, I will never leave you. There are some that can't get away from their mother-in-laws as fast as they can. But that they would have this relationship that is so deep and so profound that she would say to her, I will never leave you. And don't miss the commitment. This would be the moment when she is born again, and your God will be my God. I will be with you, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. It was fine. You could, as any Gentile from anywhere, you could go to Israel and you could become Jewish and you could live there. Still to this day, the practice still takes place. You can go and you can become Jewish and you can get a citizenship in the nation of Israel by becoming Jewish, even if you're Irish, by God becoming your God and those people becoming your people. What a commitment she makes to God, and what a commitment she makes to her. And she does show loyalty here, and she shows a sacrifice to be with a woman who is older, that they might face life together and not leave her alone. The thought of Ruth just leaving Naomi alone was just too much for her to bear. She just couldn't do it. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. That doesn't mean she gave her the silent treatment. She just, the bartering stopped. It was, you guys need to go. Oh, no, we're not going to go. You guys need to go. No, we're not going to go. You guys need to go. One of them says, okay, I'll go. The other one says, no, I'm going to stay. And it stops. Now, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. They've come full circle. They now enter into the house of bread. And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all of the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? Is this pleasant? She'd been gone for 10 years. We change in 10 years, don't we? You had Facebook for over 10 years? Memory pop up from 10 years ago and you're like, wow, can't believe I changed that much in 10 years. She changed, but maybe the hardship of Moabite life, maybe the loss of her husband and the loss of her sons causes her to just age more. Difficulties and hardship can bring on age. They're shocked. Is this Naomi? And maybe excited that she had returned. And verse 20, but she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant, but Mara, which is bitter. For the Almighty has dwelt very bitterly with me. Again, she sees in her mind that God's hand is against her. God has dwelt very bitterly with me. Now, we haven't left the promised land and gone to the land of the enemy of God, and we've had tough things happen to us. We've had difficulties happen to us, and we end up blaming ourselves or wondering if God isn't against us. How much more her, when she had done those very things? And when those difficulties happen, we can so easily begin to question whether or not God really does love us. Not knowing that the whole time, the God who loves us passionately is behind the scenes working on our behalf. The Bible says, I think it's the book of 1 Peter, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for you. I think of Jesus' words, God knows what you need before you ask him. So when you ask, ask believing that God will provide it for you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give to you because of the love and the care that God has. And I'll say to those that are facing difficult and dark days right now, that the storm of life has arisen in your life and it's difficult and it's tough, that God is still at work behind the scenes. It may be hard now and life may be bitter now, but you are not bitter. Naomi is still pleasant. She's not bitter, even though she says, change my name. I want to be bitter now. In verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Now, I wonder about our memory sometimes. Sometimes a song plays on the radio, and it's 1976 all over again. And we get a nostalgic feeling, but we forget about all of the other things that were there. We forget that the days weren't as good as what we thought. Now I know what she's saying. She's saying, I had a husband and I had sons. I left with a family, I left full, and I'm coming back with nothing. But is she forgetting that she left the land because she was hungry, because there was a famine? She says, and I'm coming again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Why do you call me pleasant, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned to the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And that's just a little bit of a teaser. At the beginning of the barley harvest, because it is through the actions of everyday life that God meets her there. And I think it's the way it happens with us. I think that's why we are to wait on the Lord. That's why we're not to despise the days of small things, because it's in everyday life that God meets us. I don't know how many accounts in the Bible we find that happen, where people are just doing what they're doing. Saul was looking for donkeys when God called him to be a king. Ruth is harvesting wheat or barley in a barley field when God meets her there, when the providence of God unrolls. Just move through life, set your heart on God, love Him, live for Him, and trust Him, and let God work quietly behind the scenes, bringing about the providence that is so grand in the end of our lives as we look back and see that God literally orchestrated the whole thing. Doesn't mean we don't face tragedy. Tragedy is a part of life. But God can work through and around and even cause something that is bad to work out for the good in our lives. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word here and for this account that we are studying together of the book of Ruth. What a great book. And Lord, what a great account. And we see today this horrible tragedy of Naomi losing her husband and her sons, and how hard this must have been for her. And seeing her come back and even lament that your hand is against her and that her name is now bitter. But Lord, we know that you're not done here yet. I pray for those that are here now that are facing difficulties and hard times and struggles. I pray you would show them that your hand is at work in providence as well. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.